Good morning. My name is Kokyo, and I'm one of the senior students, older students, whatever you want to call it. So I wanted to start off by saying thank you, Joshin, for your lovely talk yesterday. I hope it was recorded and we can listen to it and learn from your vision and clarity. Okay, he's got to make me write. It's a job, sorry. So what I took away from that talk yesterday was about letting go of our beliefs and our attachments. And I agree that we need to do that. And we need to look at our small way of seeing things. But I also think that sometimes we can take an idea or a belief and explore it and kind of start inquiring into it. So today I'd like to explore the idea of interconnectedness, of connectedness, of relationship, and obviously it's a huge topic, so I might just touch on a couple of things here and there that sort of struck me. There's more and more science and biology and books being talked about this. Recently, there was The Secret Life of Trees, which talks about them all being connected. There's another book called Understory, and I haven't read either of those books. I'm not a big reader at this point. Oh my God. You know, we could do without it altogether. Okay. No, we can't. Okay. But I mean, how do we experience it? This, given that it appears to be true, how can we experience it as more than an idea? A couple of weeks ago, Miyoko and I went to see a performance of Mice and Men at Sing Sing. And if anybody's read the book, they know it's really an intense, well, it's actually a play, I think, and it's pretty short. It's about these two laborers, George and Lenny, and they go to a ranch, and there's some connection with them, and it doesn't seem, it's kind of like not completely clear. They don't seem to be related in any way, but George has taken on the role of protecting Lenny. And they both have a dream that they share, and they both want to save up money and buy a little plot of land and find peace. The problem is that Lenny is not terribly smart, and Lenny will do anything that George tells him. And Lenny so reveres George that he starts to do things. Like Lenny will lie down and George will lie down and Lenny will look at him and do it exactly the right way. So this is a lot of control. George speaks for Lenny because Lenny could say the wrong thing. And Lenny, I think Lenny, well, both of them are looking for love in one way and relationship, but Lenny has this thing about touching soft things, and he doesn't know his strength, so he tends to kill them in the touching. So there they are at the ranch. And as the story goes on, the boss's wife, who's kind of a little shallow, but also looking for connection and love, comes and really sort of throws herself at Lenny and asks him to touch her hair. And you know what happens next. He kills her unintentionally. So prior to this, George told Lenny if anything goes wrong, and Lenny knows this is not a good thing that's happened, meet me at this place and I'll go there. So Lenny goes there and George goes there. And George has acquired a gun. And while he's pointing to Lenny to look where their farm could be, he shoots Lenny. So, of course, this is filled with many, many symbols about caring, about controlling, about trying to save somebody by controlling. And I'm not going to go there. So don't we want that? The good part of that? Don't we want to feel the connection? Don't we want to feel connected and touched by other things and other people so that we don't get lost? So we need things to take away the pain of that loss. Sex, alcohol, drugs, suicide. We have an epidemic now of suicide, as you all may know. But maybe this connection is always there, and we don't know how to make it. I mean, think about the fact that we get upset when somebody makes a face at us. We get upset when somebody seems to judge us. Is that because we're separate from them, or we want to be connected to them, and what they do affects us? And we fear losing them, even if it's somebody you don't really know. I remember, I think I've talked about this before, one morning I decided everybody who was asking for money, I would give money to. Well, it broke down very quickly. I got off the ferry, and I was sitting on the train, probably to come here, I don't remember, and I was somebody came by and I was going to give them money, but I happened to look in the eyes of a woman opposite me, and she did not approve. And I didn't give money. And I felt like, what is this? Why am I so connected to what people feel and think that I won't do what I believe that I made a resolution to do? So, as we sit here at the Zendo, this is an excellent opportunity to sort of experience our connectedness. We all are subject to gravity. Our butts are heavy on the cushion. We breathe in what you are breathing out. And you breathe in what I am breathing out. There's a mutual exchange here. We wouldn't be here except for this floor. This floor is holding us up. This floor is from trees. What did those trees see? What was it like to be a tree and give up your life for people like us to sit here? So I think one of the very easiest ways for us to sort of start to peel away that connection is to sit, because if we don't have a connection with all of this that's going on in us, all these things that brought us here, our parents, our teachers, our genes, our countries, the earth, the sun. If we don't have any connection with ourselves, how can we possibly notice the other, all the others that are part of us? Interesting. Okay. So here, it's kind of like an oasis. It's kind of like Central Park, which is an oasis for all the migrating birds that come and get sustenance and then continue on their journey. If you want to see elms and feel the presence of elms, walk down Fifth Avenue. They give shade. They give enormous beauty. And they feed us. Because don't we have elms in us too? They come from the soil. When we sit by water, why is it that water moves us? Why is it that water calms us? Is it because we are also made of water? But it's just, it's not just the good things and the beautiful things. We come here to rub up against each other. We come here to bow. We come here to acknowledge our connectedness. At Orioki, we try to start the meal together. We try to end the meal together. We look at each other and we follow each other. And sometimes people do things we don't like. But that's life, isn't it? And it bothers us. It offends us, or whatever it does. But as this poet Saigo said, the titmouse perches happily among its friends, a reliable roost safe among the branches of the passiana tree. So just to go on with my story about the giving bit, I was walking down Broadway, it was raining, and there was a man sitting there. And I went up to him, and he was all crouched over, and I said, "So why do you do this? Isn't there a better way?" And he opened up his coat, and he had a little dog there. And he said that he did it because nobody would accept him in a shelter with his dog. So there was a connection again, a caring. And he showed me the dog's teeth, and they were beautiful. And the dog was old. And he took such good care of that dog. So can we also take care of ourselves? Can we also take care of each other? Can we also take care of our country? Can we take care of the environment? With gentleness and love and without judgment? I found this quote in the Dhammapada translated by Thomas Byron, and it's part of a lengthier thing. So I think it really relates to this topic, and I think it relates to our need to sit and quiet down. Better than 100 years of mischief is to spend one day in contemplation. Better than 100 years of ignorance is one day spent in reflection. Better than 100 years of idleness is one day of determination. Better to spend one day wondering how things arise and pass away. Better to live 1 hour seeing the one life beyond the way. Better to live 1 moment in the moment of the way beyond the way. Thank you.